Good morning. Great to see you all today. It's a good crowd. Thanks for coming up and being brave to do that. I brought the one thing needful today that we heard from our gospel lesson. What is the one thing needful? That's right. It's the Word of God. We can do all kinds of important, incredible things, but if we don't first hear and learn from the Word of God, then we've got it backwards and we're not doing it right. So today I wanted to tell you a special story that comes from an old Cherokee, an old Native American man. He was teaching his grandson something. He said, "Inside of me, there are two dogs, and the battle is fierce. One dog is trying to get me to do all kinds of mean, nasty things. Every time I'm selfish, every time I lie, every time I'm greedy, every time I push or hit or hurt or kick, every time I hate, every time I look out for myself instead of others. Every time I'm the most important, that's the one dog. The other dog is there for every time I do something nice. That's the other dog. That dog gets me to be kind, be selfless, to love peace, to flower my speech with encouraging things and nice things instead of bad and evil things. The other dog wants me to be right, wants me to seek charity, wants me to help and not hurt. And the battle between these two dogs is fierce. And it goes on inside of you. And it goes on inside of everyone," the old grandpa said. And the grandson sat and thought about it for a while. And he said, "Which dog will win this fight?" And the old man said, "The dog I feed the most. It's the dog I feed the most." Does that make sense? If there are two dogs in a fight, it's the one that isn't hungry, but who's been fed and who's got strength. And maybe slept a little bit more and has eaten good things. That's the one who's going to win the fight. That makes sense, doesn't it? Now, how does that relate to us as Christians? Well, did you know that there's two dogs inside of you, too? There is the part of us that we call our sinful nature. Sometimes we say it's our old Adam. Young ladies, we can say old Eve. But if we say old Adam, it does put all that blame on Adam. Interestingly enough, I like to say inner sinner. That's the dog of sin. And then there's another dog. That's the dog of faith. That dog was created inside of us when what happened? Oh, yeah? At our baptism. That started when we first believed. That started this new dog, the dog of faith. And we might call that dog the new creation, or the new man, or the new woman who's arisen in order to drown that other dog and to be furious in the fight. Now, which one of those dogs inside of each of us is going to win? Do you remember? The one you feed the most. Remember that? That's the dog who's going to win, is the one you feed the most. Now, how do we feed those dogs? With faith or sin. Okay, but part of it is, how do we get more faith? How do we, as opposed to sinning more? Got another thought? Oh, I saw Evelyn had her hand raised. How do we feed those dogs?
You just feed the bad dog, and you learn about God to feed the dog.
Okay, you said you do something bad to feed the old dog, and you learn about God to feed the good dog, the dog of faith. And that's exactly right. If we listen to all kinds of bad things around us, if we think about how we're going to sin, if we think about how we're going to hurt other people, which dog are we feeding? Are you? That's right. That's the dog of sin. We might call the bad dog. The dog of faith. How do we feed the dog of faith? Okay, you might say by being kind, but that's actually how the dog works. How do we feed that dog in order to be kind? We said it before, learn God's word. You can read the Bible. Did you know that you can read the Bible whenever you want? If some of you are old enough to read. Others, I bet if you take a Bible to your mom or dad at any point in time, they'd probably start reading to you, or your older brother or sister. When you think about your baptism, that feeds the new dog because you know you were created there in faith. When you hear God's word, when you come to Sunday school, when you go to church, that's how we feed the new dog, the dog of faith. All of those things might not seem like they're that valuable, but you'd be surprised at how feeding your dog of faith really helps in the fight and really keeps you from sin. It works so well. And then we start to pour out these fruits of faith that we're going to hear about: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So why don't we fold our hands, because we don't want to lose this battle, and we want Jesus to help us with that new dog of faith. Dear Savior, thank you for being the ultimate example and for always battling and fighting against temptation and winning us the victory. Now help us keep the victory by feeding our new creation. Help us to eat and feed on your words and trust in them by faith alone, so that we can find salvation in the end, a gift from our God. Amen. Grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A lesson from Galatians chapters 5 and 6. But if you keep on biting and devouring one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. This is the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters in Jesus, it's a common way of talking. We say we have a soul. But I was reading in C.S. Lewis once, and I came upon a passage where he said, "You do not have a soul. You are a soul. You have a body." And I found that to be a very astute statement. You are a soul. You have a body. We think in terms of feeding the body. A lot of times we think in terms of eating right. We build little rules for ourselves, and some of us are more successful at others at the way that we feed our bodies, and we see the natural born results. But how often do we think about our soul's diet, about feeding who we really are under Christ, under God, our relationship to Him? And so today, I'm not going to say you are what you eat, but there is a lot of truth to how we feed ourselves in spirit, in soul, as well as in body. And a lot of people think that Christian means you do good things, but that would be poorly stated. It's even poorly stated to say Christians are forgiven, but we try better. There's actually much more to it than that. It's the fact that Christians are forgiven, we can't gloss over that or drink it in or feed on it enough, because that's going to cause good deeds from our very hands. It's that will feed us. So today we're going to be talking about feeding the new creation, not the inner sinner, with the Spirit. Feed the new creation. And we're going to focus on that inner sinner first. Feeding our new creation is very important because we have that inner sinner. We talk about that other dog, that dog of sin in the fight. We might call it the old Adam. We might call it the sinful flesh. In John chapter 3, Jesus says, flesh gives birth to flesh. So in other words, original sin is propagated from generation to generation. And each new generation is like, tag, you're it, you have sin. And so he goes on, he says, spirit gives birth to spirit. So we also trust in the promises of the word and in the sacrament. So Paul says this, the acts of the flesh are obvious, sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's pretty strong. You don't get to inherit the kingdom of God. And this is after we've heard that forgiveness of sins wins eternal life and salvation. And yet he speaks in such strong terms. Why is that? I mean, you look at this list, and some of these things are pretty awful, pretty terrible. Some of these things maybe never even entered our minds. But there are also some milder sins, if you want to put it in varying degrees. I don't know if that's always advisable. But you see things like envy, rage, discord. I think probably all of us are guilty of those specific sins. And yet he says they don't get to inherit eternal life. What's the answer to this? How can the law be so harsh in this passage that these people don't get eternal life? The answer is because he's speaking to the inner sinner. He's speaking to our sinful flesh. And that dog inside of us that sins, when we do these things, it is that dog of sin. It is that sinful flesh. It's not the new creation. And that dog will not stop trying to get us to sin. And that dog will not listen to anything except for the law. That part of us needs to hear that you don't inherit eternal life. We don't get to say, excuse me, I want to speak some grace into my inner sinner a little bit first. No, it's not going to listen anyway. The only thing that's going to stop that dog in its tracks is these harsh, judgmental, awful, lawful facts. You don't get to inherit eternal life if that's the way you think you're going to live it. And so that's who the inner sinner is. And that's what it needs to hear. You're not going to reform it. You're not going to change it for the better. That part of us will always be inside of us. This becomes palpably true when you see in the news that this or that pastor has forsaken the faith. Oh, and he was part of the purity culture. He said, this is how you avoid different sins. Not that he was wrong, but this was what he was all about. And he was trying to speak good things into his inner sinner. This particular pastor. I've got some of his books. Very great stuff. Good hints, good tips, good tricks, ways to avoid sin. His name is Josh Harris. And as it turns out, he says, I'm really not a Christian anymore. Once the pastor of a mega church. Because he was trying to speak good things into his inner sinner. Don't get caught in that trap. That part of us needs to hear law and only law. Nothing but the law. Because it's the only thing that's going to stop it in its tracks long enough for the gospel to do its work that follows. Now, I'd like to tell you that the inner sinner will finally lose Sometimes when I ask this question, I've asked whole groups of Christians this question, who is going to win this fight? The natural answer that people want to give is, the Christian, we have victory in Christ. And I don't really want to argue with that answer. I hope it's true. But meanwhile, I've seen friends and family abandon the faith. Certainly aren't Christian anymore. Maybe there's hope. There's still a time of grace for those people to come back to the truth, and I pray for that. And yet, it is possible to lose this inner battle because it's not going to go away. But that teaches us something. That strengthens us to know how to win spiritual warfare, how it's finally going to end. Now, the fact is that the winner of this battle is the same winner at the end of that old Cherokee Native American story. Is the winner of the spiritual warfare is the one you feed the most. And it's true for the inner sinner. If we continually feed that dog of sin. And I think this happens without us even knowing it. Week in, week out, we are feeding that dog. I mean, is it any wonder that we sin based on the kinds of television shows and movies that we stream? Is it any wonder if we read the manifesto of a murderer, that maybe there's something inside of us that gets fed with that? Is it any wonder that when we sit and brood and we think about people we don't like at work or at church or at home or at school, even teachers at school, that we're going to conduct more sin? We're feeding that inner sinner. It has to do with our daily routines, things that we maybe don't even notice, the kind of music that we hear, the kind of shoulders that we rub. And I'm not just talking about negativity. I'm even talking about nice, positive-sounding things that actually are feeding our sinful flesh because they just seem so right. And yet, what does the inner sinner need but law? We need to stop feeding that inner sinner, brothers and sisters. What kind of a world would this be if we shut our ears to some of those messages a little more often? What kind of church would this be if we didn't feed our inner sinner quite so much? It's so programmable, you could almost call it humorous, because it's so easy. It makes so much sense. If you feed that old dog's going to fight. And the battle might be lost. But there's always a way to win this battle, and that's also very programmable. We can feed the new creation, that is the dog of faith, as Mary did, as she sat and listened. While Martha was doing some very good things, some very beautiful things for her Savior, she was serving him, making sure he was comfortable, probably feeding him, getting everything ready, and yet Jesus says it's Mary who has done the one thing needful that feeds the new creation. You might think the Spirit is found in likable commands. I saw a sign recently that said, find a passion and pursue it. Dream big. Drink wine. Eat great food. Spend quality time with friends. Laugh every day. Tell stories. Reminisce, but look ahead with optimism. Travel often. Learn more. Be creative. Love with all your heart. Never give up. They're all very incredible positive messages. And yet, each one of those, believe it or not, was a command. You might think, well, if I do those things, if only I do those things, I'll have a positive, good, fulfilling life. And yet, that's not really feeding the new creation because all of those things are telling us what to do. And it can be very crushing. Because what if I don't drink in every moment? What if I don't laugh often? What if I haven't had a good week, a positive, present week like that? That can be very crushing and damaging, and certainly not a positive, upbuilding experience. And because of that, these things do not truly feed the dog of faith. Look around for it. You see these signs from time to time. Try new things, work hard, embrace change, be nice to everyone, be happy, live for today, and above all, make every moment count. And yet that's law without really using the word law. What's really going to make this dog of faith fight? It's The dog of faith is fed with the Holy Spirit in the gospel, brothers and sisters. Finally, we come to it. We see it in our text. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And then he says, whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. The only thing that recharges the dog of faith is the good news of this Savior who has done it all for you. It's not do more. It's not the fact that you haven't done it. It's that Jesus Christ has gone to your cross and taken your place. It's that Jesus Christ loved you and became sin for you so that you might become the righteousness of God. It's in the means of grace, God's gospel in word and sacraments. You want to feed this new dog? Come to church and hear it and drink it in and feed on it. Remember your baptism. Remember those promises and how God will never leave you nor forsake you, that he would even let little children come to him, that he would say, now you have forgiveness, eternal life, and salvation. Remember it as you literally feed on his body in Holy Communion, in with and under the bread and wine is his true body and blood. And that will recharge you. That will invigorate the battle. Now your dog of faith is fighting. Now your dog of faith will do good works. It will produce. It's not by saying, I need to do more good things. Sometimes we clench our fists and we think, if I just do better next time. We take notes, and next time rolls around, and sure enough, we fail again. Instead of clenching our fists and trying harder, feed the dog of faith. Feed the new creation. Learn of his word. Learn of Jesus Christ to save. Find the one thing needful. Make it a daily routine with your family, personally, in devotions, in church, and in Bible study. We offer this free food for your dog of faith every 9 a.m. on Sundays for all ages. It's a great gift. You don't have to go far. It's like Moses said, you don't have to jump up into the heavens and search for it. You don't have to go across the sea. We've got it here. It's what your offerings have been put forward to do, to feed you and your dog of faith with the truth of God's message. And know without a doubt that feeding that dog of faith is really not an act on your part. It's the Holy Spirit working in you. The two, God's Word and the Holy Spirit, work in tandem with one another, because you've got heaven waiting for you, where the Holy Spirit finally wants to bring you. In Jesus' name, amen.